Parshas Vayetze is really the beginning and the sheirish of Yaakov Avinu's Avrus. It's where he comes with his own from Yitzchak and so on. And if you try to be aimed a little bit on the meat of Yaakov from the Psukim, there's one inyan that starts with. It says Vayolin. So Rashi says, "Loshemiut, but oisem makim shachav, avol yudal et shonim sheshimish beis evil et shachav b'layla sheisik b'toyra." So the first thing mentioned about Yaakov, a peula mamash, something a maila. I mean, it says ishtam and so on, but a peula was that he didn't sleep at night. So Yudal Hashon Shish Beis Evel Hashav HaLayla Shaisik B'Teir, and that is that. So Yaakov Avinu's Maila, I guess, is described as not sleeping. It's a big Maila. It says one of the Memchazon Shatar Nikna is Miut Shena, but the Inyan that night he was Sheikhov over there, that night it was Yashin, and the other nights it wasn't Yashin. It seems to be there's a lot more to it in understanding what that Shana was and the difference between the 14 years until now and now that there was Shana over there. It says, it's very interesting, when the Malachim, it says, when they made a mistake, and there was a mockum to think that Adam is a sort of like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they said he's Yochid Val Yoinim and he's Yochid B'Tachtoinim. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Vayapol Hashem Elikim Tardema, and that was when the Malachim realized that he's not a god. So the Malachim made a toss. They thought that Adam has a din, he has an inyan of Elohus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yochid Al Yoinim is Yochid Tachtoinim. And when it was Hipl of Tardema, that's when they realized that Adam is no longer, is not something higher. So Malachim saw in the Shein of Adam, they saw something that makes him ois Elohus. Over here, it's very interesting. It says Vayachloim Vine Sula Mutzav Arzav Roishem Egiyah Shemaima Vine Malach Elikim Oylem V'Yodim Boi. So Targum Yerzman Azil, which is more of a Medrash type Targum, he says that the Vavimachidin, he has a whole. He says the Malachim that came from Stoim and so on, they were Nenash because they said Mashchisim Anachnu. So that's why they were Nenash from, and Vitridu Mimechitz Tehoin, Min Beglal the Galim Astirimor Alma. They were Nitrad from going up in Shemayim because they reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secrets. They told everybody, Mashchisim Anachnu. It says in some other places, the Mashmos is that they took Gaiva for themselves. They sort of said, Mashchisim Anachnu. And they were removed from Shemayim. Atzman de Nofek Yaakov Beis Avui. Until the time that Yaakov left his father's house. V'hinan loven yasei bechistat beis keil. And that's the day when they came up Lamala, and they said, V'amrin isun chomun Yaakov chasida. We saw Yaakov the chasid, the kunin the lekvia because of Yakara, the avesa mischam the lemechme yasei, the chain sham alachai kadish Hashem nachsis taklebe. So they came up with the great news. They said, Rabbeisai, you should know that there's somebody down there that has the exact same tzura as the kisei up here, And b'meila, the other malachim had tremendous, they had tremendous tshuka to see him, and they came down to see him. So the malachim olim v'yordim were malachim that that they had seen Yaakov lamata and Yaakov lamala. The most yukta that was chokin kis Yaakovit, and it was the oil of the Jordan was to be mizbeinin in the Demus of Yaakov, whose diukne was chokog lamala, exactly where is lamata. Yaakov was sleeping, so here we have Yaakov sleeping. It was all in Vayachlev. So the whole context of the admiration for him is when he's sleeping, and it was two things happened. First of all, it's mashma that b'schusoi the malachim lamata went up lamala, and the malachim lamala went down to look at him. It's very hard not to hear that this is the exact opposite of Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan looked like a god until he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, at that point, Malachim realized that he's not a god. Over here, the moment of his alus, the moment of the yichud of Yaakov Surah is dafka when he's sleeping. And something about his sleep is the schus that the malachim who were nitrat, because they said, Mashisim anachnu, go back. And the malachim lamala comes specially down to watch him sleeping. It's almost a hefech. If sleeping shows a man at his most vulnerable and at his least godlike, and that's when the malachim left him by Yadam Rishon, so why over here they go back again? So David needs a havana and in understanding. What's this inyan? Again, it's all in the context of the Shena. The Chazal over here say, "Vina Hashem nitzav alav, v'yom ani Hashem." Rabbi Zeba Zimra Pasach, "Kama locha psori beretz tziyav oyev limoyim." It says, "Tzom locha nafshi, kama locha psori." Rav Lozer Shimra Rabbi Zeba Zimra, "Tzom locha nafshi, kama locha." So Omer Rav Ibu kikmeo is halol Hashem mitzap lamayim. The first thing is, it's like mushrooms that are that wait for water. The meaning of this nekuda is plants have their own metzias, except water helps them grow. They have their roots. They have they have something, and rain is just a necessity. Whereas kmeyin are totally tolling mayim. Fine. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say, Kishem shenafshi tzmelecha, just like my nefesh is tzmelecha, kein ramachi vorim sheish bitzmelecha, so too my ravachi vorim are tzame to you. Heichon beretz tziyavoye v'limoyim. Now, Rabbanan say that there's a tzushtal here of tzmelecha nafshi komecha psari. And they say specifically, "Kein Ramachi Vorim Sheish Bitzveim Lecha." What's the Ramachi Vorim Sheish Bitzveim Lecha? What does he say? "Kishem Shenafshi Kein Ramachi Vorai." What's the mile of it? What is he adding to it? He's saying, David HaMelech says that I long for Kadosh Baruch Hu. The and Chazal over here are using it as a backdrop, as sort of a hezba, to understand the parsha here of Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu coming into leaving his home and going off is the same chinna of so what is the mile over here that he says just like my nefesh is somi, so too my rachivarim. In other words, the pasuk, the doubling of the pasuk of kam lecha psori and tzom lecha nafshi is to tell me that just like the nefesh, so too ramach evar. Another nekuda, it says that the others were mitakein, each was misakin a different chelik of avoda, whether tefillas are connected karbonis or connected others. Obviously, others and karbonis are aligned. So Avraham Avinu is Oilas Shacha. The Talmud of Shacha of Shachris. Yitzchok is connected to Talmud Ben Arbayim. It's Mincha. Yaakov is connected to Meiriv. Meiriv is the Haktara Sevorim. The Hekta Chalovim and Evorim was Kosha Kol Alayla. So that's Yaakov. We understand that there's a very big distinction between Zrika is, Karbonis are, the Ika Akrava Karbonis is the Akrava Karbonis. And Tomit Shal Ben Abayim and Tomit Shal Shachris are the two main Karbonis. Hekta Chalovim Veivorim is, if you look at the Mishnah, it's Keilu. It's also a distant second place to the two. It's a distant, at night there's not much going on. Hekta chalovim vevarim. But the evid, it's kosher without hekta chalovim vevarim, even if you're not marked to them. Because the etzim hakrovas, the zrika. So the mile of Yaakov was called the b'chir shavus is that he gets the shirayim. More than that, it's not even ki'ilu. Any mila. I mean, you're talking about amudim of avoda. So if there's two to meet them every day, so these are the mila of avoda. There's a tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben arbayim. So those are the shnei tamidim kesidram. Those are the amudim of avoda Hashem. That's lechem chuki. This keeps the world going. And Yaakov, it's not even parallel. I mean, Hekta Chalom Evarim is generic. Anything you have laying around the Mizbeach, you can let burn on the Mizbeach. What kind of mile is that? One would even wonder why you would even have a tefillah connected to that. It seems like an afterthought. That's really the issue. So let's be Mizbein a little bit, and let's try to understand the Midah of Yaakov and what it means in the real Mahalach Vavayda, where it comes in, and then we'll have some understanding of how it expressed itself in these Inyanim. It says in many places the Midah of Yaakov is Emes. Pasuk says Titan Emes the Yaakov. Even though literally the Tidem Yaakov means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yaakov the Emes that he promised him, that's the Pashto Pshat of Pasuk, but it's understood that the Mid of Emes is Yaakov. Says it many, many places that's Yaakov's Midah. The Elovin is a Ramai and so on. Yaakov is Emes. We struggle to give a good definition for Emes. We tend to associate emes with the dipurim, hagodas edus, etc. So a person is telling the truth, not telling the truth, and like we always say, that's a very, very specific example of obviously a much bigger inyan. When we speak of our Kaddish Baruch Hu being emes, we start Krishma with Hashem Echad. And we finish it, emes, even though emes belongs to Yatziv, but we miyachre together because that's the right chesima for it. We have an issue of understanding midah of emes as being a central feature of describing our Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says Hashem Elokim emes is the most central description of our Kadosh Baruch Hu in Yisod HaTorah. That's how he puts it down, that pasuk. So, let's understand a little bit what the Midah of Emes is in its core. The word Emes is the same as the word Ta'oim, which means twin, similar. Emes requires two inyanim to be the same. There's no such thing as emes. Let's take emes in its simple form, in the way we use it normally. if I tell you a story, and if the story is an idea, I'm telling you not a story, I'm telling you an idea. I have an idea that it's good to do X, or Y is inappropriate, or whatever. I can't call that emes or sheker. It's an idea. If I tell you a story, something happened, so there was an event that happened a week ago, there's my story. If they are the same, that's called emes. If they're dissimilar, or in so much as they're dissimilar, each one is, it's off a bit, it's not emes. That's the simplest form of it. When I speak of emes in the Mahalchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what I'm speaking about is the Pnimius of the Bria and the Chitzonius of the Bria. In other words, for me, if I make an object, since I'm not a creator, so I had one thing in mind, and what came out is not exactly what I had in mind. So imagine I'm a carpenter, I'm a sculptor, I'm trying to make a certain statue or a certain table or whatever, and what comes out is not exactly what I had in mind. That's a dissonance between the machshava and the ratzon to the metzias befall. And that's lacking in midas emes, because the thing is not a real expression of myself. If I present myself in a way that's not who I am, there's some sort of liqui in midas emes. I'm not quite giving over that which is be'emes inside it. So in the big picture, if you ask ourselves, what's midas ha'emes? Midas ha'emes is the ratzon, the pnim, which includes the ratzon and the das, to the chitzen, which is the expression. So even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks emes, what we mean is, in when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, that's an expression, that's his das and his ratzon. Koyama Hashem, this is what is going to happen, means this is ratzon abore, and when it happens befall, that's the outside manifestation of it. That's how it became into, that's the embodiment of it. That's how it came into being. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, v'roch emes, then everything happens exactly the way it was said. Because the pnim, which is the ratzon and the das, and the chutz, which is the befall, are one and the same by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is no gap between the two. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dvarcha emes ukaim la'ad means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala's ratzon, the metzias and the ratzon are hainu hach. When we look at a person, and we're to ask ourselves in the most sensual way possible, how do we describe the midas ha'emes in a person? And the answer will be like this. A person consists of a guf and a nefesh. The nefesh, neshama, whatever you want to call it, is a chelek alekai, and it has within itself the tchunas of Elyon. It has itself tchunas, its metzias is something above and beyond. And the guf is meant to become the embodiment of that teichen of the nefesh neshama. So the chelek ha'odom that we divide between pnim and chutz is the nefesh neshama versus the guf. So long as, so let's forget about the person who deliberately pretends to be a big tzaddik and he's not. Let's not talk about that. It's not even relevant to this discussion. But a normal person, the guf and the nefesh are distinct in the fact that they have their own personal ritzonis. The nefesh wants toiv. the nefesh wants things that are ruchnius. But nefesh le sisvel simale, it's something which nothing in this world makes my nefesh feel good. Money and physical objects and covet, all these things, I still feel hollow mitzad my nefesh, because I my nefesh doesn't get anything out of these things. On the other hand, if my guf is starved of all inyanim of gashmis, I can't go on like that. It's not only a question, I'm not talking about necessities in the sense that you need X amount of water and X amount of calories and so on. I'm talking about mitzad de tanugos. The guf itself needs to have some sort of fulfillment in its world. It's mishtekik for that, it waits for that, and that's what it lives off. The nefesh can be kaifed the guf to go along with it. So a person who has a very strong nefesh and a very, very a very powerful sense of ruchnis can schlep along the guf, whether the guf wants or not, and it gets swept up in it. So just like Lamashal, imagine somebody has in himself, he's not a ruchnistic person, but he's very, very involved. He has chemdes hamamon. He's a businessman, tremendous, tremendous ambitions in business. So he can go for days without sleeping and eating, not because he's a tzaddik mushlam, that he has no taivas for tanuga olam hazeh, but because his ambition is so powerful that it schleps along the guf, and the guf doesn't have the power to resist. So there's a possibility where a person is asuk in toiv, and he seems to be totally oblivious to any other needs because the power of the nefesh is so strong that it pulls along the guf and the guf can't resist. Once the business deal is over, the person doesn't have whatever it is, so then his guf demands his, and the guf demands to indulge and to get its chelik and so on and so forth. So we have in the kleiches in a person that act in tandem, but they're not the same, they're not identical. We do have the ability to schlep one and to be swept up in the power of the other, and vice versa. Person has a nefesh, and his nefesh like ruchnius, his guf's cravings and lust are so strong, that he schleps the nefesh along and the nefesh has power to anything about it. That's, so in Suras Adam, it's a welding of two separate koiches, and with the possibility of one overpowering the other. That's the normal mahalach of avoda. The malachim, when they saw Adam Arishan, they saw someone that looked like he was, because he had an Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in him, and this was Avram, and this was Adam B'tikunoi, this was Adam before the Chait, so it's like Adam Gan Eden. So when I saw Adam Arishan, I saw a barrier that was godlike. The fact that he had a guf wasn't megareya, because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world, and the fact that he created a world is not megareya from the fact that mitzad the pnimius of the world, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Adam, it was the same. When Adam fell asleep, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when Malachim realized that he's not. Because what happens when you sleep is there's some sort of disconnecting of the nefesh from the guf. So the nefesh goes lamala, and the guf becomes a lot more gufnius. Just like when the business deal is over, and I'm finished with that, all of a sudden the guf comes to the fore and demands guf, because now the nefesh doesn't have any really, doesn't exert much power over it. When it's gone, the guf comes into its own. When you see sometimes a person who's awake, you see in him chius and chachmas adam taripanov, and you see a tremendous amount of chius that's kemat the guf recedes to the background. But when you see the same person when he falls asleep, it's not the same panim. It's a guf. And it's sometimes kind of shocking that the person is just not, doesn't have that sharpness of tzura, doesn't have that special aura of Adam when he's sleeping. It's because the nefesh is to some degree uncoupled from the guf, and you see the guf itself. These are all the inyanim of guf that we see. The that you can't wear tefillin at night because he might fall asleep. It means that at night the guf is shaylit, and b'meila that's a guf that's not, the guf mitzvah is naki only because the nefesh is shaylit on it, and if the nefesh is not shaylit on it, the guf is not naki. The guf mitzvah atzmo is only naki because there's a shmir of the nefesh on it. Mitzvah atzmo is not naki. The yinif tumah at night, the ruach tumah that's on a person, because the nefesh is not there. The inyan of keri, the Yaakov Avinu was leiroa keri miyamov, because Yaakov was different. So all what happens in Shena and in Laila is that the person becomes the nefesh neshama stops being shoiled on the guf. And b'meila, all of a sudden the guf's kaiches return, and it's a guf, and I realize that it's not the pshat that the guf and the neshama become one, that the guf is simply an exact expression, but adrabe, just like the moshe ma'adav adayma. Let's say I'm a very tough ruler, and I have a spokesman and cabinet people and so on. And I tell them what to say with a tremendous kapeda and tremendous force, and they all say exactly what I want them to say. And a person looking at it's not sure. Iboilu is the pshat because they actually think and agree, or because there's pressure on them. And there's no way of telling until I loosen my grip. Let's say the melech, the shalit, is incapacitated. And now let's see what they're saying. And if they change their music, they say things that are different, you realize, the mafreya, that it was only a kfiya, it was only a forcing them, but once that's gone, they have their own memshal, they have their own mind, they think differently and so on. That's the inyan of Laila. For instance, it says, you know, chacham einav beroyshei, ezo chacham aroyas anelat. Laila, since it's not as man re'iya, it's the nefesh and the chachma of the person, the das of the person is not shaylet. The guf, that's the time of the guf. And that's the p'chin of shena, and that's where you realize that Adam is not a likus, because he loses his tzura with shena. And this is the idea of misa. Misa is a final a separation until loss of lavoi, and b'meila, that's where the guf becomes its full guf. That is the inyan of Shena and Laila by a normal person. Yaakov Avinu was the embodiment of Midas HaEmes. The Zohar Kodesh says, "Simeni kachoisem alibecha." Kachoisem is koyach tam, the koyach of Yaakov Avinu. And the Zohar Kodesh later on says that's the p'china of Emes, of Yaakov, is Chaysom HaShakash Baruch was Emes, and that Chaysom is Koyach Tam is Yaakov Avinu. A Chaysom means that whenever I stamp a document with my Chaysom, so what the document says is my Ratzon, even though it's not me talking, it's a piece of paper with ink on it, but that's me. Yaakov Avinu's midah of emes was that there would be no separation between the chalak of Adam. When I let's even when a person takes his guf and he's koyfe it to do ratzon Hashem, so that's not emes yet, because the guf is doing it and I'm able to force him to do it, and it's the right thing to do. But the guf is not really doing it mitzad atzmo, it's doing it because there's pressure on it. So as long as that's the description of Avodah Sodom, it's lacking in emes. Yaakov Avinu was that mid of Adam that he could be daimed to Dmus Yuknoi. And that's why the Malachim. Let's go back to the Yerusha Mezil with the Malachim. A Malach is supposed to be called Kule Shliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Malach has no self. A Malach is not in any way divorced. It's not the Pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's Malachim, and he calls on a Malach, and a Malach is a good Shliach. A Malach is called Kule Dvar Hashem. So when the Malachim said Mashchisim Anachnu, there was a kilkul with the Dvar Hashem and Kaviyochel, the Ratzon Hashem, there was some appearance of nituk. The Malachim said, we're the ones that are doing it. Or, if they were Megala, the Tmir and the Malka, like he says in Zil, they revealed to others some of the Seder of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a kilkul in what Malachim was supposed to be. How Malachim were Kalkul, Bechirat, all these, not in your name. It's not, all that's Nagea is, it's a Hagdara of what went wrong. The tikkun for that type of Pirut between the Pnimius Ratzon with the Chitzonius Bitui and embodiment of it is Yaakov Avinu. The Malachim Adrabah, when Yaakov Avinu slept, so the Tzura Lamala and the Tzura Lamata remained the same. That was what was happening. It was a tikkun. All the Yaakov Avinu Midas Emes did not allow for Shena all these 14 years, because Shena is a pirud between the two. So to be in a matzav of Shena is something which ki'ilu allows for times of pirud. How physically was done, it doesn't make a difference. That's not the nekuda. Nekuda is what Chazal called that he wasn't yashin. The first time that he had gotten to a darga where he could, where his Shena was the same. And the Malachim, while he was sleeping, the same Malachim that when they saw Adam Arishan fall asleep, he lost his hoid and he lost his beauty. And they said, oh, Sacha called this is a piece of meat with a neshama in it. It's not Elikus, because I see the difference between Shena and not Shena. This, by Yaakov Avinu, when he was sleeping, on that moment that he went to sleep in that makom, that's when the Malachim would go up and down, and say, there's no difference between the Dmus of Yaakov that's Chokok and Kisei HaKavod Lamala, and the Dmus of Yaakov that's in so-called Shena Lamata. That was Yaakov Avinu as Tefaratoi. The Beis HaMikdash, it was the makom HaMikdash, and that was the place that's Chubur LeYachdov, the place in the world that Elyon and Tachton come together seamlessly as one, is that Mokum. So if there's a Mokum Shena, that it's possible to be Lamala and Lamata, the same, it's only over there. Let's describe that in a practical way. What does it mean? This is a place where things are Mechubur Lamala Lamata versus the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, it says in the Mokum HaMikdash there was Asara Nisim. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make Nisim for nothing. We're not supposed to have Nisim, we're not supposed to rely on Nisim. To build a Mokum HaVoida where you need Nisim is strange. Furthermore, we've seen the Rambam many times, and he says, the Rambam says that Nisim that are out of Teva happen once and that's it. In other words, they're not Nimshach. Nisim of the type of the Bria of Teva is Nimshach all the time. That's the goddess that ness. Nisim that are extraordinary events are not Nimshach. So how over here the Asara Nisim were continuous? The answer is this is very different. The Asara Nisim are things that the word Asara always implies a complete universe, a complete world, like Asara Mamaris. The laws of nature of the Beis Hamikdash were Asara Nisim. It was a world where Ratzon Hashem and Teva were Hainu Hach. It wasn't in outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Everything that in Ratzon Hashem and the Bria are not the same. And many things happen, the sun rises and sets despite the fact that people are worship it, and so on. The world itself has a mahalach of Teva, which is not quite an expression of Likus. It's sometimes out of sync. So a ness over there is a gross interference, and it only happens for a momentary need, the Rambam says. The Beis HaMikdash was a place that its Teva was Nisim, because it was the place where there was no distinction between the physical elements and the Ratzon Hashem. That's where Yaakov could sleep. That's the place of Shena, because that's the Makom when there is no gap between the Avoda itself, the Avoda, and the expression of the Avoda. It's Hainu Hach. So Yaakov's Tzur over there was, and that's why the Malachim came up and down. They saw that. And that's where the Malachim, in other words, the same Malachim that because of the gap that they had with saying Mashiach Anachnu, that's what they found their tikkun. Chazal use the memra of Tzomalach HaNafshi, Komalach HaBsari as Akdama for this, because we can synchronize our Guf and Neshama in terms of doing. If I want to give, I have a piece of bread and I'm hungry, and I give it to an Ani because the Ani really needs it. So what I see is a Ratzon to do Chesed, a Tshuka to do Chesed, and the ability to force the Guf to do that Chesed as well. That's what I see. But I can't say that my Guf is mishtoikik to give the piece of bread. I can't say that that's what's happening. I can say my Neshama is mishtoikik, and look at how mishtoik it is, that even though my body is hungry, I'm still forcing it to give. Over here by Yaakov Avinu, the expression Tzomlecha Nafshi Kamalecha Bsari, that the tzimoyin of the guf and the nefesh can come together, is an almost impossibility, because the things that the guf craves, the nefesh has nothing from it, and the things that the nefesh craves, the guf doesn't have satisfaction out of it. Unless the guf has become one with the nefesh, and everything that the nefesh stands for and wants, the guf actually wants, that's the incredible, that's its incredible matzah. There are different stories about big tzaddikim that they took some meichel and they said they don't feel like eating it, I just don't feel like eating it, it's off or whatever it is, and then they would find that it was treif or whatever, there was a shayla on it. One way of understanding these meisim are as a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a takola to tzaddikim. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach is that for a person who's gotten to a very high darga, the guf becomes so aligned with the nefesh that things that the nefesh is turned off by, the guf is also turned off by. It's an incredible darga. You know, we're not in a position to know, but if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Raya Chassid of Yishmer, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing a takala, that's a big madrega, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu helps a person do what he really wants to do. But the real big madrega is where the Tzom L'cho Nafshi and Kam L'cho Psori are one and the same. They're exactly alike, and what one wants, the other one wants. We asked about the Veda of Laila, of Hekta Chalavim. So the Avnei Nezer says, a behemah has two halakim, the dam, and damu anefesh, and inasmuch as dam is the nefesh, it has a similarity to Adam's nefesh. And just like a person's nefesh, it has the chiyus itself comes from Akash Baruch Hu. Kedamu anefesh is that there's some. That's why dam is also for us, because it's beyond us. We don't have shaykhis to dam, and that's why the avoda of karbonis is first and foremost zrika. Whenever a person brings a behemah, the zrikas hadam is something that is shayach to the elikus and the bria. If I need to identify a divine spark in a behemah, it's in its koyach of nefesh, and hadam is the nefesh, and b'meila zrika is the ikar avoda, and that's why it's b'yoin, because all avoda means things that are shayach to the world of ruchnius, neshama, Kadosh Baruch Hu belong to Yoim. Yaakov's Mida is the final Mida, which is Emes, which means that if a dam is something that Shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it must be that it's possible to bring the entire, the Chalovim and the Evarim, which are the heavy, coarse part of it, that also can be nechaz in the eish, and be mukta Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dam doesn't need any processing. Dam is by itself some sort of damu anefesh, and it goes on a mizbeach. The hekta chalovim nevarim, that requires a fire to consume it and bring it up lamala. But the shleimus of a karbon is not that the dam was Nizrak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the meat's laying like a carcass in the street, or in somebody's stomach. It's the Shleimus of the Bria is Midas HaEmes, where if the Nefesh was Nizrak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Guf also could be Oilo Lamala. It has to be that way. Or else you're creating a wedge between the two parts, and that's lacking Midas HaEmes. So the darga of Yaakov, on the one hand, it's not an easy darga to get to. Our primary focus for Ruchnius is the first one. We're holding by dealing with the Chelek Alikai. But Lemaisa, Yaakov's Maila is, where even the Hekta Chalovim and so on is Kol Alayla, because that's his darga. That even the outside wrapping of the Bria is Kulei Kodesh, because by Kadosh Baruch Hu there's no distinction between the Pnimius and the wrapping. Let's understand it in terms of Avodas Adam. Certainly, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu as the spitz of all Avoda. It's the high point, and in its absolute form, it's so Mshichzavas, not Shayachtos. But let's understand it a little bit in a focus in Avodas Hashem. We ask ourselves, whenever we ask ourselves, what does it mean that we're growing in Yiddishkeit? So certainly if a person hasn't been doing certain mitzvahs and he does, then that's growing. If a person has been doing affairs and his friends are doing, that's growing in Yiddishkeit. That's not really growing Yiddishkeit, that's doing Yiddishkeit. You know, what the Shofaruch is, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. So those are things that, yes, it needs a plan how to do it, but if we're talking about quality of Meisim, what are we looking for? Ultimately, we're looking for Midas HaEmes. If and Midas Emes is not coming to describe a situation where I'm pretending to do something for show. That's Midas Hasheker. I'm not working on Emes. That's working on getting Sheker out of the way. If a person pretends to do some tzitkis for attention or whatever it is, that's not, it's a very bad thing. But talking about a person's doing something. But the progress in life is as the person does it, he slowly begins to draw in his more physical self. So that too also is mistaking. The learning starts with a kfiya of his other koichas. A person would rather be playing, running around, doing whatever it is. And he pushes himself to learn, and because there's a nekuda of ruchnis that says learning is the most important thing, and so on and so forth. But as the person learns more and more, he begins to get absorbed in it in a way that there's a certain kamala chapsari. A person has something that he can take for himself or give to somebody else. The beginning starts with two very different shukas, the desire to have it for myself and a more ruchnistic desire to give to somebody else. And those are loggerheads. And I start by forcing myself to do what's right. But if the person, it requires a few elements in order to begin converting the tzamlucha nafshi to kamlucha psari as well. The meaning of hergel, that a person, as the more you get used to it, hergel is something that affects the guf. When a person is misboining in it, as a person, as Revolver writes, a person needs to have a dialogue with his physical self and concede, I know that you would rather have eaten a piece of bread yourself. You would rather have taken it for yourself. I know, it tastes good and so on and so forth. But taste comes, taste goes, and giving to somebody else, and the hanov of giving to somebody, and so on. As a person is misboining and thinks of these things, Then a person it begins to convert his flesh's understanding, so that his flesh also understands that this is Mo'os, and this is Toiv, and this is Tainu. And finally, the difference between what we do with Evarim Chalavim and Evarim versus the Dam. The Dam just needs Lagia Lekir Mizbachecha. It needs just to reach Mizbeach because it's its natural place. So you take the dam of the nefesh and you put it in the Makom Kodesh. It did what it needed to do. Chalovim and Evarim need Hector. And for us, we would call that his Slahavus. A person needs to do mitzvahs with a certain Slahavus, with a certain tshuka, That converts the tshuka of the guf into tshuka for good things. The koyach of islavos, because taivas and chemdes are a certain resichas adomim, there is a certain heating up of the person. Taivas associated with resicha. So the tzura of a mitzvah that contains in it resicha as well, a fire to it, converts even the guf, to the chalovim, they form the guf to something that's oyla lamala. And if we understand the lifetime of avodas Hashem is to become that avodas Hashem be la'avdecha be'emes. La'avdecha be'emes means that not only we're doing it because we know it's right to do, but because kol atzmoisei tamarna, because every part of the person, the person's self, his physical self, also has gotten those chukas, and that's the tachlis of avoda. The tachlis of avoda is that a person it reaches the midah of emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The midah of emes is Krishna starts with echad and ends with Hashem Lekechem emes. The emes and echor are the two poles. Echor is the belief and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And b'meila, any division between chutz and pnim is puzzle. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For us, that midah pairs a midah ha'emes. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same, same mitzah the neshama, same mitzah the guf. And the more a person matures and develops in avodah, the process is a process where the kamalach obsari, the yearning of the flesh for likus, is equivalent to the tzamalach nafshi.
That's only possible.